Manhood Baptist Church Sermon Podcast Special Induction Service for the Reverend Paul McCabe, Saturday the 10th of November 2018. Hello and welcome, thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. Yes, this was a very special service indeed, as it was the induction service for the new minister of Minehead Baptist Church, the Reverend Paul McCabe. It was a wonderful service as we welcomed Paul as our new minister. I've edited the service together as best I can. The main sermon was preached by the Reverend Gary Woodall, who's original minister from the West of England Baptist Association. But we'll start the service and join Tim Walker, who was our moderator during the search for a new minister, as he introduces the service.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to you. And I'm glad you're having such a lovely time that you don't want to listen to me. It's lovely to see you here. Particularly welcome, Mr. Mayor. Thank you very much for coming to be with us this afternoon at Minehead Baptist Church. We really appreciate your presence with us. Thank you for joining us. There are folks here from a number of different places, I think. How many of you are here from Upton-on-Severn? Well done. Good. Lovely to see you. Welcome. Great. Good. And how many are family of Paul and Lorraine here? In family of... Excellent. Welcome. Lovely to see you. Good. And how many are for other churches in Minehead? Welcome to you. Good to have you with us this afternoon. And more? Yeah. Great to have you with us this afternoon. Thank you for coming and sharing this particular event with us. And how many are from other churches around Somerset? One or two, yes, one or two, good. Other Baptist churches? Yeah, I can see some folks from Watchet. Great. Well done. Thanks for coming over. And how many of you from Minehead Baptist Church? That's just about the rest, so welcome to you as well. That probably leaves just about one person, apart from myself, in the congregation today, which is my wife, who's come to support me. Thank you. So wherever you're from, welcome. It's lovely to see you, and it's great to be able to come to this special occasion. We've received greetings from some people who've not been able to come, and I'd particularly like to bring greetings to you from Tim Langdon, who is now the minister of Bridgewater Baptist Church, and he has the excitement of a wedding to officiate at this afternoon. We also have greetings from Andy and Denise McCausland. Andy was the former minister at this church. I'll read his email to you because he's written it to be shared with you this afternoon. Denise and I just wanted to send our love and prayers to you for today. We are pleased the day has arrived. We always remember our years in Minehead with great thankfulness. You taught us so many things and shaped us in so many ways, and we continue to miss you very much. But today is a day to look forward. I think of that great encouragement from the Apostle Paul. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. God loves you and has great things in store for you if you set your heart and mind and will on him. And I have no doubt that the lovely, or at least they were lovely when I knew them in Seaford, Paul and Lorraine will help you with that. May God rest richly bless each of you and you together. So that's from Andrew and Denise. Today is a day for thanksgiving and a day for commitment. We'll look back at where we have come from and give thanks to God for what he has done and who we are in him. We will remember how we have arrived where we are. But most importantly, we will be looking forward to all that God has in store for us for the future. And that's whether we're part of Minehead Baptist Church or from elsewhere. On the basis of God's promises to us, we know that the future is secure in his hands. So we are able in confidence to make our promises as people covenanting together within this church with Lorraine and Paul to serve God in the unity of the Spirit. Andy quoted one verse from Paul about looking forward. I'd written down the other very similar verse that Paul has. So as the apostle after whom your new minister is named, Paul, said, forgetting what is past, I press on towards the high calling for which Christ has called me. We do this together and we encourage one another as the day of Christ's coming draws near. So let's pray together. Loving Lord, we come to you this afternoon with a sense of joy, a sense of excitement, and perhaps also a certain sense of natural anxiety. We are thankful for the past experiences of your Spirit working here, and for the blessing which comes when members of a fellowship of believers share together in serving you. We are continually grateful for the sacrifice which Jesus made of his life, so that we can experience release from sin and all its consequences. We ask that whatever our feelings this afternoon, you would give us a deep sense of your overriding peace, a sense that you are in control of the future and that you will continue to both guide this church and make its life fruitful in every way. We remember particularly those who have served you here in years past, and we pray for them now. We pray too for all those who continue to serve you faithfully here, and we pray for those who even now are sensing those first calls of faith in their lives and who will join with those here in serving you in future. We pray too, Father, this afternoon for the church at Upton, that it may continue to grow and serve you there, and that all that it has learnt in Paul's ministry may be retained and built upon for the blessing of the community in that place. At this time, when the world is looking back at the evils of past warfare, give us a new vision of the world of peace which Jesus came to bring. The kingdom where you alone reign. And give us an understanding of the part that we play in bringing about that kingdom as your people here. Release us now from those tensions of our past failings to fulfill that calling, that we may worship you as you alone deserve and enjoy the presence of your Spirit and of one another as we worship you this afternoon. Amen.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's good to see you. It's good to be here. I thought I'd better introduce who I am, because last time I came to preach here, which wasn't very long ago, someone took me to one side and said, "Who are you?" So I'm Nigel. I'll better tell you a bit more. I'm Nigel. I'm the regional minister in charge of ministry for the Southwest Baptist Association. So one of my responsibilities is the care of ministers and churches in the Southwest. One of my other roles as a part of doing that is I'm the person responsible for sending the search team here list of names to discern. So, but before you blame me in future for Paul coming here, you need to understand, you as a church made the decision. But it's good to be here today and be a part of this day. And I just want to let you know that Carl Smethurst, who's the other regional minister, whose responsibility is mission and pioneering, he's actually doing an induction service in Paignton for Stephen Cole of this very moment. And I said that I'll mention that to you because you can pray for them, and he's going to say that to them, so they're going to be praying for you on this day. One of the other things I mustn't forget, does anyone have any objection if I take a photograph of you? Because you all look really happy people, okay? And we'd like putting our Facebook account to say this is an exciting thing that's happening. Would that be okay for folk? It's a really awkward church to do because you're so... So I'm going to try and do a panorama. So if you don't want to be in a photograph, just pray. this goes right. Don't forget, this is a happy occasion. You've got to be smiling. Yep, on those panorama photographs, you're all bent, but that's great. Thank you very much. When we come to this bit of induction, sometimes it could just be a lot of words, a lot of promises, but what is it about? The induction it's a covenant between church and minister, and it made me think about that a bit more, that I think inductions are it's very similar to a wedding in many ways, because you have promises between two sets of people. And not only is it, you say, you know, there's like in a wedding, for richer, for poorer, sickness and health, to death, we'll leave that bit out. But also, someone told me, a little bird in my ear, that like a wedding, this is probably the only time we'll ever see Paul in a suit. But we're going to, as we go through this induction, one of the important part is to tell the story of how we got to this part. And this bit always worries me. It makes me very nervous. Because like a wedding, you know that bit in the wedding where you say, does anyone know of any lawful impediment why this person should not be married? Well, that seems to happen at this as well. Because we're going to hear the story from three very different people. Someone from Pam from Upton Baptist Church, who might tell you all the secrets, and you might... then Martin and Paul, I hope that their stories will actually dovetail. If they don't, we're in trouble. but first, is Pam here? Pam, would you like to come to share something of the story from Upton? Thank you.
Hello. When I was asked to sum up in a few words, a few sentences, Paul and Lorraine's time at Upton, I thought, oh gosh, it's so hard to sum up 8 years of ministry in a few sentences. And I say Paul and Lorraine because... our treasurer, Phil, always says that when Paul and Lorraine came to Upton, we got two for the price of one. Paul came to us as a pastor in training, so it was a training period for him too. And over the last few weeks, many folk at Upton have been sharing in the celebrations of their going. In the parties that we had before they left, they were sharing in how Paul and Lorraine had ministered to them. And it's been a few weeks of laughter and tears, and many shared their joys and their sorrows, and how Paul and Lorraine had shared them with them in a prayerful and compassionate and understanding way. They had built genuine, authentic relationships with each one of us and showed us God's love in action. Paul never faltered in bringing the Spirit-filled word of the Bible to us. He inspired us and encouraged us as we walk with the Lord. I recently heard of a late 19th century, early 20th century preacher called James Stalker. Maybe some of you have heard of him. And when he wrote a lot of books, and he wrote about his first time as a minister at a church, and he said, "I fell in love with my congregation." And I can honestly say, I feel this is what happened when Paul and Lorraine came to Upton Baptist Church. They fell in love with the fellowship. No matter what difficulties they faced, they followed the command that Jesus gave to us all in John 13, 34. "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." Lorraine and Paul reached out to each one of us in the same kind, gracious, forgiving, generous, unconditional love that Jesus extends to us all. They threw themselves into church activities, and you've got that to come. They were always there, no matter what was going on, be it our cameo, our old people's group, older folks group, sorry, or our toddler group, our youth groups, quiz nights, bring and share meals, which Paul particularly likes, because you'll get to know Paul loves cake. They were even there to make tea and do the washing up when no one else was available. And Paul and Lorraine didn't confine their love to the fellowship. Many folk in Upton, the shopkeepers, community workers, counsellors, doctors, and non-churchgoers, know and speak fondly of them. They reached out in Christian love to all in the community. So you can imagine how sad we were at Upton when we heard that Paul and Lorraine were leaving. Of course we want them to stay with us. But our Lord has other plans, and he has called them here to be with you. You are truly blessed that the Lord is bringing these two wonderful people to minister to you, and we will miss them dearly. Please, take care of them, nurture them, treasure them, above all, treasure them. And I would say to Paul and Lorraine, from Romans 15, verse 13, "May the Lord, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Amen.
The church here has also been on a journey, and Tim, who very kindly gave the welcome, has been moderating and helping the church through this process with the leadership team. And we invite a member of our leadership team to come and share with us something of their story. Martin. Thank you.
Thank you, Nigel. Well, good afternoon, everybody. It's lovely to be here. Lovely to see so many, especially from Upton. It's great to have you with us. Thank you very much, Pam, for those words. Yes, we will look after Paul and Lorraine. That is our commitment together, and we will be making those covenants shortly, won't we? The two questions I've been asked to answer is why Paul and why now? You might think, well, pretty simple, particularly when it comes to the first question, I suppose, why Paul? We had an envisioning evening almost 2 years ago, and that is how long it's taken, and we'll come on to that in a minute. But 2 years ago, Nigel, and Tim stood with us as we had that evening together, and we talked about what sort of person do we want to lead this church. And we had all sorts of ideas, and then we finally filtered that down, and some of the things which you can imagine, somebody with a pastoral heart, somebody who could preach, these sort of things. And in May, when we saw Paul's CV, and then we saw him in person, we felt this fitted, to use that expression, which I don't like very much, ticked all the boxes. But more than that, dear folk, this afternoon, we have somebody... You, is it? It's great to have somebody from the Catholic Church. Welcome, David. Oh, you're very welcome. It's great to start that fellowship together. Ministers of the... And where was I? I can't remember exactly where I was now.
I don't know where you are. I'm worried about my ringtone now.
My phone is off, I know that. But more than that, more than ticking the boxes, which I don't particularly like that expression, which it did, Paul did, this is what he said: I feel drawn to this place. I think he told us there were 11 people who wanted him to go and talk with them, 11 churches. But this is the place he felt he was drawn to. We were touched by that. That was reality. That wasn't just simply ticking boxes. That was somebody who really felt drawn to our church, for which we're so grateful. We prayed, you see, for 18 months, really, almost, for who would God provide for us? Who would actually be God's provision for us? Thought of Abraham and Isaac being the sacrifice that God provided. Not that, Paul, you're a sacrifice. but God provides. The thing is that God provides, and I believe he's provided right the way through both the Old Testament and the New Testament, and he's provided even today for us. And praise God, he's provided for Tim. We've been talking about Tim, we mentioned Tim. God has provided Tim a church to pastor. God is a providing God. But I think the answer to the question, why Paul, is that it's God's choice. It's God's choice for now, for this church. The second question, why now? Just as it's God's choice, I believe it's also God's timing. I couldn't help thinking, you know, of the story, again in the Old Testament, of Joseph. He had been in prison for 2 years, and it was a long time, 2 years, before that butler remembered that dream. Joseph knew what it was to wait. And I think we even know what it is to wait. Wait before God for his answer. And then a wonderful scripture, which I feel is something I just want to end with, really. That scripture in Genesis 49, when Jacob had died, and the brothers, you can understand, were fearful. What's Joseph going to do to me now? You know? But Joseph says this, am I as God? And he says that God meant it for good. You may have meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And I believe, looking back, perhaps we can see those 2 years being God's way of preparing us. God meant it for good. There's never any delay with God, and he means our delays. And I imagine here today, we're all waiting for something, whatever it may be. But God doesn't allow any time to go to waste. And I would just say that just as God has provided Paul for us, so he's going to provide in the days and the years ahead. We are anticipating, we are expecting, and we are rejoicing in a wonderful God who provides, and he provides again. Now, before I finish, I just want to say something to Tim. Tim, you've steered us. You've helped us along this way remarkably patiently, and I think we all want to say thank you for those hours that you've put into the meetings we've had together, the PST meetings, the pastoral search team meetings, and also the hours of travelling. All those weary miles between here and Taunton, and then also Pam, for your sacrifice to spare him for all that time. But Tim, we thank you so much, and we want to just give you a little gift, and we want to, this comes with our love and with our appreciation, both from you.
I used to have a ringtone on my phone which was Mission Impossible theme tune. and sometimes I think through the process of looking for a minister, you wonder whether it's going to ever be possible, and the system seems so slow. We wish we could just do that and someone appears. But we were constantly reminded that now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. And it's about the trusting of God. In the trusting of God, Paul was called. And so we would like now to hear something of Paul's story.
Well, on behalf of Lorraine and myself, whether you've come from around the corner or the other side of the country, thank you very, very much. And despite all that they say, we know, we absolutely know, that those folk who come from Upton have come to make sure we've actually left. Thank you, Ashton. We never really thought we would leave Upton. That's the truth of it. We thought, actually, Lord, you're doing a great thing here. More, Lord. But, you know, sometimes we have to acknowledge our ways are not the Lord's ways. It is his way. And there was that sense, Lord, are you calling us to leave? Which we faithfully and lovingly explored. It's not as if actually we wanted to go. It's just that it was the Lord's timing. Upton, I know, has a great future in store for it. It actually, we are, at least in one part, just bit players. And what is to come next, friends, is greater than what has already been. Why Minehead? Well, it was always our plan to retire here, just to let you know. We've been here many times on holiday, and we thought one of those nice little apartments down on the seafront with a lift would be perfect. Minehead's name came up on my list, and I knew my profile had been sent here, and bluntly, I was kind of ready to say, Lord, you obviously don't want me to move, and the leadership here invited me to come and see them. From that moment on to this very moment, I can say with my hand on my heart, you have loved us. And that love is part of what God has not just in store for today for us, but in the coming weeks and months. Even then, do you remember the wonderful 2.5 hour question and answer session that we had on the way home? It's true to say, even though we had a growing sense that God was calling us here, that God wanted to use us here in his ways rather than our ways, there was still a growing sense that we wanted to run. Why would we want to move to the southwest, Lord? Why do we want to be there? But in it all, God was calling. In and through it all, God was saying, come, follow me. So we laid it at the feet of the Lord, told him that we would go wherever he wanted us to go, and the church invited us to come. But you're going to find out this about me too, I still tried to run. And so I spent a whole day at a coffee shop just thinking, Lord, what do you want of me? The more I thought, the more I heard him say, follow me. Come. I have plans for you and Lorraine. Your plans and your ways are not my ways. There was an overwhelming sense, friends, that this is where the Lord wants us to be. that this is where he wants us to minister the next part of our journey. This, friends, is a place when, for now, and until the Lord says otherwise, I am called to disciple you, and you are called to disciple me. So can I say on behalf of me and Lorraine, thank you. The biggest thing that UBC taught us was how to love. You kind of heard that. Pam said it was because we loved them, but it's also true to say that they loved us. Thank you, friends, for teaching us. We'll take the lesson we've learnt well, and we'll love you. At the prayer meeting on Wednesday, we talked a bit about Psalm 40, and I believe the Lord has been saying to me and Lorraine for a while, I want to put a new song in your heart. And that means, friends, he wants to put a new song into the heart of this church too. I believe with all my heart that God has called us to be in my head. I have a few notices for you. It's true to say I like cake. And Ava and me have got a bit of a competition going on. The tea afterwards, you'll discover she made the chocolate brownies and I made some of the scones. And you will be asked to vote. No, you won't, honestly. But I want to say a huge thank you to Amy and her team for preparing and for doing the food. Thank you, Amy. You're a blessing and a star. I believe God has called us to be church together, Minehead Baptist. For this moment, yes, but for what is to come. I simply say to God with the glory, your way, Lord, not our way. Oh, and there's one other notice, which is to say that some of the items out in the hall when you come to tea contain nuts. So be careful if you've a nut allergy. Why did we come to Minehead? Bluntly, friend, it's like this. You needed 2 years to get ready for us. My first job is to say, I want that ringtone. It's God's timing, not our timing. And ultimately, we've come here because although the food may contain nuts, it's true to say the church certainly does. Bless you, friends, for welcoming us and taking us into your heart. We are yours under the Lord, and you are ours. Amen.
We come to the serious bit now, which is very, it is serious, because it's about the promises that Paul makes and you make as well. And you'll find in the service sheet, I'll invite different people at different times to stand, and hopefully by the end of the induction service that you will all be standing. But firstly, I want to ask of you, Paul. Yes. Paul, you have been called to be the pastor of this church and congregation. Will you accept Christ's charge to care for his people with all diligence and compassion?
I will. God's Spirit empowering me, I will care for the weak, bring Christ's healing to the brokenhearted, lift up the downcast, and pray regularly for those committed to my care.
Will you equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ? Will you lead and enable God's people in their mission to the world?
I will. The risen Christ inspiring me, I will seek God's kingdom, proclaim the gospel in word and deed, and endeavour to make Christ known in every way.
Will you make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? And by your example, lead this church in all godly living and devotion to Christ.
In the name of God, who is the Father of all, the living Word, and the Spirit of unity, I will seek to be faithful in prayer, in the reading of Scripture, in leading worship, in presiding at the table of the Lord, and in preaching the Word of God.
I invite Lorraine to join Paul. Lorraine, you have heard the promises made by Paul today. Will you join in that commitment to Christ and his people, promising to support and encourage him in his ministry in this church and community?
I will.
And can I invite those who are involved in the leadership of this church to please stand? Do you believe that you have been called by God to work together humbly and willing in serving this church and community?
We do.
Do you promise to honour and respect one another, doing nothing from vain conceit, but in humility regarding others as better than yourselves? And do you promise to work with the members of this church in its calling to seek the kingdom of God? Can I invite now the members of this church and those who attend regularly to worship? My sisters and brothers, a new chapter in the life of this church is open today. I invite you now to renew your commitment to Christ and this church, to affirm again the vows of your baptism. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
We do.
Do you accept and welcome Paul as your minister? And do you promise to honour and support him with your love and prayers, working together with him in your shared calling to witness to Christ in this place?
We do.
Paul the Apostle says, "You were bought with a price. Will you serve Jesus Christ as Lord, bearing witness to him, and daily taking up your cross to follow him?" May I invite the rest of the congregation now please to stand. As representatives of the wider church and community, will you offer your support at this new beginning in the life of church and minister? Will you join in praying for them all? Please be seated. We invite those who've been invited, there are a number of people who know who they are, to come and lay hands and pray on Paul and Lorraine. Any of the leadership team, anyone would like to come and pray? Please pray as you feel led.
Father, we thank you for the words of testimony that we've heard from Paul. We thank you for the leading that he has received with Lorraine to come here. We know that the task you are calling them to is one which they can only be fulfilled as you, by the power of your Spirit, come upon them and enable them. They cannot love with the love of Jesus unless you give your Spirit to enable them to do that. And so we pray now that a special measure of your Spirit would be poured out upon them, that they might indeed know that continuing blessing that will be a blessing to the people they meet day by day and moment by moment through this church. Give them, Father, all the strength that they need and all the protection that they need from that which is evil and wrong and would get in the way. Father, anoint them, we pray now, and equip them day by day throughout their days here and as long as you're calling them to be the minister here. We pray, Father, for this particularly now, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, Paul and Lorraine, as they start their new venture, may we sense the wind of your Holy Spirit blowing fresh amongst us, that we will be excited and overjoyed that you, Lord, have sent this couple to us to lead us and to lead us to your feet, Lord, to worship you more, but more than that, to see your kingdom grow in this town. And we won't glorify you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we recognise that moving house and starting a new job and then moving house again is a very stressful occupation. So, Lord, we pray that you will take away any of those stresses and strains, that you will protect both Paul and Lorraine at this time, that you will give them all the resources that they need, Lord, to not only move twice, but to start this new job in this place with a whole bunch of strangers. Lord, thank you for them. We pray that you will really bless them both in their time here. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Father God, we pray that you will hear the prayers of your people as we come and ask your rich blessing upon Paul and Lorraine. We pray, Father, they will know your wisdom, your patience, and the importance of the fruit of the Spirit, that they will show kindness and know humility. And I just pray, Lord, as they've shared the covenant with the people and the people with them, that you will continue to lead them forward in your purposes, that your kingdom will come. For we offer them back to you now, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Paul, before you run away, I don't have to do this, but Paul, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, representing the Baptist Union of Great Britain and the Southwest Baptist Association and all those here at Minehead Baptist Church, I declare that you are inducted to the pastorate of this church and congregation. You can hoop. And as you lead the people of God and as you care for them, as you serve and pray for this community, may the Lord richly bless you and sustain you. Bless you.
Bless you.
Let us all say together, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
We now turn to God's word, and we are looking at Ephesians Chapter 4, and we're starting at verse 1. Unity in the body of Christ. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. May God add his own understanding to his word. Amen. Father, I just pray for Gary now as he comes to give us his word. Could you help us to open our hearts and our minds and our ears? Help us to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's a great privilege to... it's a bit loud, isn't it? It's a great privilege to be here this afternoon. I've known Paul for lots of years. Paul was an elder of a church that I was the pastor of, and it was a real disappointment for me when he came into Baptist ministry. Because his previous job, we used to have tickets to go to watch Manchester United, Liverpool, Arsenal. And when he came to ministry, all those things went. But actually, this is the second occasion that I've been asked to speak at an induction of Paul. And this is the first time I arrived at the right date and the right time. So those at Upton, I want to apologise again. I wasn't with you at Paul's first induction, but Paul and I have been in contact with each other all this week to make sure that it was today and it was at 3 o'clock. This is a special day, an important day, a momentous day in the life of Paul and Lorraine, and for you as a church community here at Minehead Baptist Church. As I was thinking and I was praying about today and where do we go in Scripture, the passage we had read in Ephesians chapter 4 became prominent in my thinking. I'd like to read it once more. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing one another in love. make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Paul, you have an amazing privilege today to become the minister of Minehead Baptist Church. And I believe that this passage has something to say to you personally, but to you as a community also. My thoughts were, let's work through each one of these words today and let's just expand it. Then I thought, how do we work these words out in reality? So, I know Nigel's put his phone on timer. So if you have a Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Joshua. How does Ephesians chapter 4 get worked out? Well, we're going to look at Joshua chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Is that okay? There is cake. The way we're going to do it is actually just to skim it a little. I don't know if you've been down to the seafront, found those stones, those pebbles that are smooth, round, and tried to skim them across the top. Have you done that? Well, we're going to do some of that skimming today and find out what God has to say to us. Joshua, where's the first bounce? Where's the first skim? Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. God chooses his leaders. Let's just set the scene. Moses has led the people of God. They've gone through an amazing time of discovery, failure, God's blessing on them. But Moses was gone. I don't know how you felt, folks at Minehead Baptist Church, when Andy and Tim said they were leaving. You heard something about the story of those folks at Upton when Paul and Lorraine said they were leaving. What did God have in store? It was a time of transition, and it was a time of renewal. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them. Be strong and courageous, in verse 6. Because you would lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the Lord my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate it on day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything that's written in it, then you will be prosperous and successful. Here's the transition. Moses leading the people of God. How are they going to work out who their next leader is? The one thing they didn't do is take a popular vote. Maybe Mrs. May should have listened to that advice. If anything we believe about as a Christian community, as a Baptist community, is that when you came together as the people of God here at Minehead, it wasn't about you voting, do you like Paul or don't? Do you like the way he preaches or don't? Do you like the way he looks or don't? When you came together as the people of God, you came to discern what is God saying to you. This is God's choice, not yours. This is God's choice and not Paul's. I want you to remember that, because over the coming months and years ahead, there will be times when Paul would disappoint you. Remember, this is God's choice. There will be times in the coming months and years when you'll be really disappointed by what Paul and the leaders are saying, and you'll find it hard to hear what they're saying. This is God's choice, not yours. Paul, I want you to remember that for you, my friend. Okay, let me be generous. A week, two, month, two, if it really goes well, a year's time, you'll be sitting down and you'll be asking yourself, why am I in my head? This is God's choice, not yours. What can we learn from this first skim? God chooses his leaders. You as a church need to understand that. Paul, you as a fellow pastor need to hear that. It tells us to be strong. That isn't dictating, but to be strengthened by God. To be very courageous, outrageous, in expecting God to do amazing things here in Minehead. Can I encourage you as a body of God's people here to pray for Paul? Pray for wisdom. Pray for courage. Pray for an outrageous imagination of what God can do. Pray because he is the person that God has called amongst you. What's the second skim? It tells us here, leaders are to lead. So what does he do? What does Joshua do in this story? Well, he gets to the edge and he sends two spies. And the spies go into the land. They work out what the territory is like. Joshua plans. He works out some strategies. Paul, that's part of your task with the leadership team here. To plan, to work out some strategies of possibly how you as a people of God can fulfill the calling of God and to fulfill God's mission amongst you. Paul, this is about you and the team doing this. You need to survey the ground. You need to get to know these people. And I know in our one-to-one conversations in the past, you need to allow these people to get under your skin, my friend. It's more than you rubbing them up the wrong way. It means that you love them and they love you. And when they cry, you cry. And when they laugh, you laugh. So give Paul some time. Is that okay? Some of you are really hard to love, aren't you, really? Give him time. Give him time to work out what this community in Minehead's really all about. Give him time to get to know the Lord Mayor and find out all the needs of this town. Give him time. 3 months before revival? Is that enough, Paul? But give him time. Allow him and the leadership team to work out some strategies. What's the third bounce or skim here? The people purified themselves. Often, when a church develops and grows by God's grace and God's mercy, often people look to the minister or the pastor and think, ah, that's the reason why. What Joshua teaches, it's actually about you as a Christian community. When they crossed, Joshua told the people in chapter 3, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things amongst you. You see, it didn't ultimately depend on Joshua. It depended on the vitality, the spiritual vitality of the people of God. I did think about bringing a scale that I've got at home and ask every member to come up and stand on it. And on that scale it says, are you close to God or not? I wonder if I brought that scale from, and by the way, I don't have one. But I brought that to ask each of you as members of this church to stand on it. I wonder what it would say about your dedication to the Lord Jesus. They needed to be pure in heart. They needed to keep themselves pure in order for God to do some amazing things. Then we get to this fourth skim, and we get to chapter 4. Remember the past. I find this passage, by the way, over the last 6 months, really special to me. Choose 12 men amongst you, amongst the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest is standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. Can you imagine the picture? They're working their way through. These 12 blokes have to come along and pick up these 12 big boulders and take with them. If we carry on to verse 20, and Joshua sets up at Gilgal the 12 stones that have been taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he has done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful. It's not my time up yet. So that you might always fear the Lord your God. As this time in your life as a church, you look to the future, it is important we look to the past. God was good to you as a church here, wasn't he? With Andy and with Tim. Remember that. Hold on to that. If we had more time and read more of Joshua, we also discover as they get to the middle of the Jordan, these 12 men come and pick up a rock and take them. And as we just heard, they put them up at Gilgal so that they look at it in the future and remember this is God's amazing power and grace and a miracle. If you read the passage really carefully, Joshua himself goes where the Ark of the Covenant of God is, and he gets 12 stones. Instead of taking them with him, he piles them up right in the middle of the Jordan. He dedicates himself. It's important that today, metaphorically, you set up some stones here. The past we give thanks for. And we'll look back. And as you go on this journey with Paul and Lorraine, it will be a rock and roll. And it'll be exciting. You can look back and say, this is when God did something amazing amongst us. Paul, in your own mind, I invite you today to take some stones, to commit yourself, to remember this is about God's work that he's brought you to. The fifth stone, you'll like this one, Paul. Building community in chapter 5. You see, the people of God were wandering around the wilderness, and the command of God to circumcise, well, they just didn't do it because they were a wandering people. It's amazing at this point, as soon as they come across, God says to them all, you all need to be circumcised. Paul, you can then cross your legs at this point. Often we look at circumcision, the purification, the setting apart, the marking of God onto the people of God as an Old Testament thing. But what does Romans tell us? A person is not a Jew who is one only outwardly, nor is circumcised merely outward and physical. It's a circumcision of the heart. At this point in your journey, at Minehead Baptist Church. And Paul, I want you to purify your hearts again. To purify your lives and to commit yourselves to him. For the people of God in Joshua, it was to tell everybody else, we belong to God. Now, I'm not suggesting here, Lord Mayor, that they all go round revealing themselves to each other, because the prison would be rather full. I am suggesting that they go round revealing the love of God by the words that you have, the attitudes that you have, the actions you have. As a church gathered, the things that you do reveal to the community here at Minehead that God is gracious and good and loving and kind. As a church scattered, as individuals, as your family, as your neighbours, as your work colleagues, the people you meet down the street meet you and speak to you, they can look at you and actually say, these people belong to the community of God's people. Today is a moment for circumcision of the heart. The sixth bounce or skim. God's power is evident here in chapter 5. I think Joshua made a real mistake in this passage. If I was a leader of a people who had to cross a river and conquer a land, in get an army together for the first time, I would try one or two small battles. But we're told in Joshua, God leads them to this walled city that was massive, well-armed, well-fortified. How the heck did he think he was going to conquer here? Joshua, you're not going to conquer. This is God's challenge. This is God's task for you. This wasn't about what Joshua was going to do, or even the community of God's people were going to do to conquer this city. It was what God was going to do in conquering this city. They set out in battle. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. Joshua was famous because of what the Lord has accomplished through him and the people he led. I just pray that that may be true of you, Paul, and the community of God's people here. Your reputation spreads, not because of what you've done in your ability, but what God has done through your weakness in transforming your community. Two more stones. That seventh bounce or skim. What does it tell us in chapter 7 and chapter 8? Our sin can hinder God's work. Do you remember your parents say to you, pride comes before a... God's people thought they'd done it. They conquered it. They conquered this great city. Look at what they'd done. Oh, how silly could they be? No sooner than the Israelite army left Jericho in triumph, they found themselves fleeing from Ai, a small town in total defeat. Why? You see, God told these people to give everything they plunder over to him. That was really important. It was important that they were obedient to God. But Achan decided that he could just sneak a little away for himself. But the Israelites in verse 7 acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. Achan took some of them, so the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Devastating results because they didn't fulfill God's command to them. Devastating results of one, not leader, but member of God's community who were disobedient to God. You see, one person's sin or act of disobedience affects the whole community. Minehead Baptist Church, you as individual members, you're going to play an important part in the work of God here. Your sin will affect everybody else's. The thing that you know where you're being disobedient to God about will affect the mission and success of the mission of God here. We come to this eighth bounce or eighth skim. God's word is central. The end of this chapter 8, I think, is the most significant part, Paul. He has all God's people lined up, Joshua. He builds an altar, sacrifices. Then he says these amazing words in verse 34. Afterwards, Joshua read the words of the law, the blessings and the curses, just as it is written. Nothing added, nothing taken away. In the book of the law, there was not a word of all that Moses had commanded that Joshua did not read to the whole assembly of Israel. You see, Nigel, they spoke for a long time, including the women and the children and the aliens who lived amongst them. Joshua read out God's word to them. God's word was central to them being the community of God's people. God's word had to direct them. Not only what they thought and believed, but what they did. God's word was central to all of this. Paul, I give you this challenge, my friend. And I think it's the greatest challenge any pastor of a church can get. Let God's word direct you, the leaders, and this church. Not circumstance, not society's decisions, but God's words. I encourage you as a Christian community here at Minehead to allow God's word permeate through all that you do. Listen to it. Be obedient to it. Don't allow wider society to determine what you believe or not. Allow God's words to set the tone for the future. Eight quick skims or bounces, Paul. Commit to pray for Paul and Lorraine regularly. Allow Paul to lead you with the rest of the leadership team as God directs them. Purify yourselves from all unrighteousness. Remember what God has done for you as a people. Remember today. Circumcise your life. Get rid of anything that hinders your relationship with God and witness of God. Rely on God's power to achieve the victory and not yourselves. Confess your sins, even those little ones, because they make a difference. Make God's word central to your life. So I come back to Ephesians chapter 4. I urge you, brother, friend, pastor, to live a life worthy of the calling you've received, just as Joshua did. Be completely humble, gentle. Be patient, bear with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Paul, that's my prayer for you. My prayer for you as a Minehead community would be that something of that Joshua story of God working God-conquering, God-transforming communities would be a part of your story. And I look forward to the months and years ahead when I come down and have a free holiday at Minehead. Free. To see and to hear what God has done for you. Let's pray. May God bless you, my friend, with his loving presence. May God enrich you, man of God, with his deep companionship and friendship. May the Lord Jesus Christ remain your joy and your strength. And may you prosper greatly in this new chapter in your lives together. Father, give Paul and the leaders wisdom. Give this Christian community compassion and love. May you be Lord in this place. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Bless you, my friend, for the reminder to use Scripture. We're going to bless each other with Scripture to end. Jude writes these amazing words. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Our service of worship has ended, friends. Our service to declare to Minehead that in Jesus God's kingdom has come begins. So come with me, friends. Come and let's get started. And I can think of no better place to start than by saying, let's share some cake. Bless you.
To leave a comment on service, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.